And you're seeing that reflected in some of the recommendations that are already coming down as it relates to things like pay freezes, the deficit commission recommendations, and how this new Congress might receive those and possibly act on them. I think that you're hearing about schedules for hearings that are going to be accelerated and happen in great volume as the new chairmen of different committees are appointed. So I think there are a lot of ways that it's already starting to manifest itself.
If everyone's being asked to step up in terms of deficit reduction, Fed's by and large happy to participate, but they feel a little bit, I think, overall this year, feel a little scapegoated, and this is just, this is a monetary way of showing that, I guess.
Well, I think that there's this perception that's been out there with respect to the level of pay and benefits that has set the stage or created a tone that we should target the federal workforce. And I think that's a little bit unfortunate because it's not always as fact-based as it should be. And I think, as I've read the comments from the federal workers themselves, they're saying that we understand that as others in the private sector are having to deal with pay freezes, that it makes sense that we might be asked to as well. But don't cast us as people who are, you know, overpaid and underdeliver and, you know, maybe not the same level of quality or productivity, because that's just not fair. So I do think that the pay freeze is one thing, but I think that this kind of perception that's out there is one that needs to be addressed because it's really not as fact-based and as accurate as it should be.
And in fact, even OMB currently, Chief Performance Officer Jeffrey Zients, continually refers to the federal government saying they almost entirely miss the transformation coming from technology and that the government far lags behind on efficiency and service quality. And I don't know if he's called his credit card company recently, but you know, yes, everyone's struggling in their pockets of good and bad, but there's a lot of great things that have gone on and a lot of incredible efficiency the government has done over the past two decades.
You know, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, I just say to people, well, let's just assume that there was no one at the other end of the phone when you called about some of the issues that you have. And, yeah, we've all had times when someone didn't answer the phone. And I've had them on the private sector for various vendors, too. So, look, there's no broad brush that should be painted here for either side. And but what I do think, though, that we can expect with some of the new people coming in, there's going to be, first of all, an education that they're going to have. And I hope that they give the federal workforce the opportunity to help educate them on issues, on policies, on how the government even works. Some of the people coming into the House particularly have never been part of the federal government process before. So I think there's going to be an education that needs to happen, and hopefully they'll take advantage of that.
The other thing is this age of austerity, it feels a little bit like 1995 all redo again. Better, faster, cheaper is just the mantra these days, isn't it?
It is. I think that there are a number of ways, though, that we need to explore comprehensively besides just, you know, let's just cut X. I don't think that a broad, you know, across the board X percent is going to make a lot of sense. You can't cut, for example, 15% of a plane or 15% of a some other type of project. So I think,
and we tried that before and not gotten very good results. We cut how much we're going to spend on it, and then guess what? It didn't, and it ends up costing us more in the end anyway.
That's right. So I think the right way to do this is, you know, I view it as that looking at what do you really have to do statutorily, the must-do, the lights-on type things. What are the things that are related to those missions that you should do? That's my second bucket. And then the third one is, you know, the things that are nice to do, that you like to do, but maybe they're more tangential to your mission. And I think when you look at those and break it down that way, coupled with the effectiveness of those types of programs, then you have a more insightful approach to, you know, understanding when dollars are tight, where you spend them.
How effective was the Office of Personnel Management? It's made a lot of steps towards streamlining the hiring process over the last year. How effective have those been now that we're in this very different era?
What I don't have any inside information, Chris, but what I see is that they're reporting that they're starting to see some results from that, and I think that that's a hopeful sign. A lot of the things that they've done, I think, certainly make sense conceptually. The actual execution and the acceptance and application at the agencies is where you'll start to see if the results play out. But it seems like it might be a little early to tell, but they're reporting that they're starting to see some progress.
You still need to be focusing on making sure that you're an efficient, good place to work, regardless of whether it's the age of austerity or not.
Absolutely right. Now, one thing that will go with that, I think, is having a 21st century workplace, not just the workforce, but the workplace itself and the environment in which you perform your duties. So I would applaud, for example, the signing of the telework bill. So that actually is one of those important steps. And so it's working differently. And as far as hiring, those are some of the things that people are going to be looking for as they evaluate one employer versus another. The other thing is look at the recommendation from the Deficit Commission, and I know that's not the actual official name, but they had some other workforce recommendations besides pay freeze that relate to the benefit plans, right, relate to retirement adjustments potentially and modifications to the plan. You could very easily, if those things were adopted, start to see a reacceleration of retirements. And so in certain cases, I understand they might want to let the workforce scale back a bit in size, but there's always going to be a need for hiring.
And in this time, what I've seen in the private sector is in these difficult times, what you do is you make sure you have the best people, you have the absolute, you know, the people who you absolutely want to have in the right places. And this is a time to really hone that to make sure your workforce is really the best that it can possibly be.
That's correct. And, you know, as I say, I still think that, you know, with a new Congress coming in and some new members in the Senate, that it's important for them to have the benefit of the knowledge and experience of people who, in fact, are in the executive branch that can help them to understand, particularly where they've got oversight responsibilities, so that they're, you know, they're doing that in an informed way.